Praise God. We talked about some biblical words for salvation last week, and I told you I would take that up again today. And we talked about salvation being means deliverance or bringing safely through or keeping from harm, and how that Christ Jesus, you know, God saved us, and we've talked about that. We talked about again this morning about the cross. Talked about the one way of salvation. Christ is the way to the Father. It's by God's grace we're saved. And we talked about that a little bit last Sunday. And it's received by grace through faith. I'm glad for that, aren't you? And it comes as a result of God's grace. That's why you're saved. It's because of God's grace. We talked about that last week and a little bit more this morning. And it's according to our response to that in our faith in Christ and what he's done. We have to respond to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, to God's wooing of us to become a Christian. I believe it's God's will for every man, for all men, to be saved. I don't think he picks and chooses, and there's just a certain person or people, group of people that are the elect. I believe every man's been called unto salvation. It's up to us to respond to the call. There's some groups that would say that there's elect, there's certain people going to be saved and other people not going to be saved, and I do not believe that for a second. For John 3:16 says, for, you know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and I'm a whosoever, aren't you? And there's millions of whosoever's out there, and so I believe that. And he said, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so if your convicting power of the Holy Spirit's upon you and you accept that and you repent of your sins, you can be saved. And so I believe so anyway. And there's the two sides, three stages, which the past stage, that's where we received the forgiveness of our sins, and then it led to spiritual life, from spiritual death to spiritual life. I was dead in my trespasses and sins, and I'm alive today. I mean, my spirit man's alive. I was already alive in the flesh. But when I got saved, my dead spiritual man become alive in Christ Jesus. So I'm so glad for that. I was regenerated. I was born again. I was justified in all these different words, and a couple of them we're going to talk about today. And the present stage is that I've been saved from the practice of sin. A lot of people don't understand that, don't realize that, don't accept that, and don't practice that. But we've been delivered from the present power and practice of sin. We have a person-to-person personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and that delivers us from the power of sin. We don't have to give in to the devil any longer. We can resist. We don't have to practice. We're sin. We're not under dominion of sin. We have this one-on-one relationship with God as our Father and Jesus as our Lord. And so we need to reckon ourselves dead to sin. I'm dead to sin. And I know this body of flesh fights that reckoning. You know, I know that. I understand that. And some he fights harder than others, or some are more susceptible to it, or more easily influenced by this body of flesh that wants to sin. But we are reckoned dead to sin. So stop sinning, okay? Stop sinning. We're dead to that sin. We need to submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Submit to him, to the leading, and to the Word of God, and be filled with the Spirit of God. And he gave us a command to be filled. When you got saved, you was filled with the Spirit, but there's a second and subsequent work to the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and that's being endued with power from on high. In my opinion, everybody in this church ought to be talking in tongues. Not everybody shares that opinion, but I think that's a very good opinion. And I think it's justified by the Word of God. We need to be filled with the Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to go away. I'm going to send another comforter. He sent another comforter. But he told the disciples over in Acts 1:8, go tarry ye in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Acts 2:2 says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one mind, one accord, in one place, and suddenly, like a rushing mighty wind, the Holy Ghost lit upon each of them like cloven tongues of fire, and there's a mighty rushing wind come through there, and they all spoke in unknown tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. So that's another subsequent work of the Holy Spirit. But church, if you get full of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, I believe it makes it easier to not practice and not be under the dominion of sin. Because you're walking in the Spirit. You're being led of the Spirit. You've been endued with the power of the Spirit, power of God. So It's just important things that we need to understand. Then we need to be baptized in the Spirit. So I encourage you to do that very thing, because you're going to wage a constant battle against Satan and sin. It's just going to be a constant battle. So for some, it's easier than others. For others, it's difficult. But you're going to fight this fight of faith, and you're going to battle sin. You're going to wage a war. It's a warfare going on all the time. And we can't see it, but there's a warfare in the heavenlies over us right now. That's a whole other story and a whole other. I don't talk about that very much because I don't want to give kids nightmares. But there's a warfare going on, but we are not under that power. We're under the power of God. And no weapon formed against us can prosper. There's no telling what goes on over each of us every day, and God's protecting power and hand upon us to prevent Satan from doing what he would like to do, or his little soldiers in his army, his little imps, his little devils. And so we're victorious today. So I want you to understand. So the future stage of our salvation, of course, is being delivered from the wrath of God to come. In other words, we're going in the rapture. We're going to heaven one of these days. Talked about that a lot when it's talking about Revelations. I need to get back to that here before long and go talk about some more of the terrible things that's going to happen in Revelation. My wife keeps giggling me, "When are you going to get back on Revelation? When are you going to get back on Revelation?" I like Revelation. I want you to preach that some more. I was like, "Honey, leave me alone. I have to study hard for that." I hadn't got over the holidays yet. We got to watch out. We got to practice living for God. And one of these days, we're going to go to heaven. And you don't want to forfeit that final stage of your salvation. Right? How many want to go to heaven? Well, if you want to go to heaven, it means you don't want to forfeit that final stage. That final stage of our salvation is being catapulted out of here or raptured out of here, going to heaven one of these days. That's our ultimate goal, isn't it? After all, I want to go to heaven. I got saved again. When I got saved, I probably wasn't thinking so much of getting out from under the dominion of sin. I was thinking more about being able to go to heaven one day. And the second thought in my mind is, I want to miss hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to miss hell. So go to heaven and miss hell, I got to get saved. Right? So, I mean, you know, when you're young in the Lord, get saved because you don't want to go to hell. And then you learn more about it and learn, I want to serve God now. But my first initial thought, I just don't want to go to hell. We used to hear about that all the time. If you don't get saved, son, you're going to go to hell. Well, we don't talk about that much anymore. It scares the kids. You know what? I don't think anything hardly scares the hell out of people anymore like it used to. He said it that way. It's the truth. You can preach all kinds of things out of the Word of God, and it don't scare nothing out of nobody. They don't get scared about that stuff anymore. You used to preach about hell, and it scared out of me. Oh, my, I don't want to go. I don't want to go there. I'm not being ugly. I'm just telling you, folks, you want to miss that place. It's a place of eternal punishment. The Bible calls it a lake of fire. Not only is it a place of eternal torment, it's a place of separation from anything and everything you've ever known. It's going to be a terrible place. It's going to be worse than we can imagine. So anyway, now we'll talk about the word redemption today. I love it, old song, and I like a lot of songs. How many knew I like music? And can't play it, and I can't sing it, but I like it. Sweet is the song I'm singing today. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed, you know? And so we want to talk about the word redemption, which means to be ransomed by a price or a payment of price. We've been redeemed with a price. And that expression denotes the means by which salvation is procured, namely the payment of a ransom. See, we were held in bondage. We were held captive by sin and by Satan. There was no way out, no way around it. We were hogtied. We were bound up. There was no way to get free. Absolutely none. You couldn't even do it by the law. They couldn't even keep the law and stay free. We wasn't even under the law as Gentiles. We were just human beings on earth, despised by and rejected by a lot of people. Really, by the chosen, the Jews, we were despised and we were rejected and we had no place. We were bound up by sin. And God said, God made a way. God knew what the way was. God knew what it would take to ransom fallen man. He had a price to pay, and he was willing to pay the price. So the status from the state of sin, we had to be redeemed. We were bound in sin. We were locked, you know, just bound up. There was no way out. You couldn't work your way out. You couldn't give your way out. You couldn't pray your way out. I mean, in the sense that you were bound up. Even before Jesus came, you couldn't get out from under the bondage of sin. You were a sinner. We couldn't even kill a goat and sacrifice the blood on an altar because we weren't the chosen of Israel. We couldn't get out from under the bondage of sin as Gentiles. We were locked in, man. I mean, there wasn't no hope. Now, some of them were grafted in and some of them were adopted into the Jewish family and they brought them in, but most of us would have been lost. We wouldn't have had no chance, you know, like just wouldn't. And so now, God said, I know a way. Now, I don't think he spent 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, about 6,000 years of history trying, or, you know, whatever it was, 4,000, 6,000. I don't think he stood up, sat up there on his throne with his, sitting up on his throne with his chin in his hand and his elbow up on his knee thinking, what can I do? I don't think he sat up there thinking, I don't know what I can do to save mankind. I've made all these people and I just don't know what we're going to do. I don't think he was confused at one time at all. He knew from the beginning what he was going to do to save humankind. When Adam fell, God already had a plan. God already had made a way. Jesus is the way maker. He already had a way. So we were in sin. We needed to be redeemed. We were alienated from God. Look at Romans 3. Chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. It says this, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and their way of peace had they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them, we who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin. So, you see, we were all under sin. We were all guilty. It said we had poison in our lips. We cursed. We shed innocent blood. We were ugly, unregenerated people, and every single one of us were under the bondage. We were under the bondage of sin. We were alienated from God. We were under the dominion of satanic powers. We were slaves to sin. Look at Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. It goes on to say, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should yield it, should obey it to the lust, neither yield your members unto righteousness. It goes on and on. So you see, we were in bondage. We were in bondage. We were in need of deliverance from guilt, punishment, and power. We were under the power of sin. We were going to experience the punishment of sin. We were under the guilt of sin. And God delivered us and paid a price. He redeemed us by the blood of Jesus Christ. Church, you ought to be shouting right now. It ought to make your heart, your spiritual heart, do flip-flops right now to think, I was under the bondage of sin. I was lost. I was undone. And God has redeemed me by the precious blood of His Son, Jesus. He has set me free from the dominion of sin. and of Satan and all demonic powers. He has delivered me and set my feet upon a rock. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. I no longer have the guilt of sin. I'm no longer going to suffer the punishment of sin. I'm no longer under the power of sin. I've been set free, and whom the Son hath made free is free indeed. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God. See, the price to free us was paid to free us from this bondage. Christ, once again, freed us by the shedding of His blood and the giving of His life. I know it's a bloody salvation. I know it's difficult to understand. We don't know enough about this law and the sacrifices in the law. And most of us don't. But we still have to understand Christ secured the ransom by shedding His blood and giving His life. It's not a fairy tale. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There's no redemption. Without shedding of blood. Over in the Old Testament, they would take a lamb, a Passover lamb, they'd kill it. Everybody would kill one. They'd eat the unleavened bread, and the bread was made without any kind of herbs or anything, just terrible tasting bread, and they'd roast that lamb, and they had to do it a certain way. They had to take the perfect lamb. It couldn't be a lamb with blemish. It had to be the best one they had, and then once a year they'd take a scapegoat and they'd lay all the sins. They'd send it out in the desert to be killed. And they did all this. And at a certain time, take heifers. They'd kill all kinds of animals. And Solomon, when he dedicated the temple, slaughtered thousands of animals. Can you imagine how many animals have been slaughtered over the years for the remission of sins? And it was only good for 1 year or less. Christ died once and for all. Once and for all. One time for everybody. He's not going to come back and die again. He's not going to hang on the cross ever again. He's not going to pay the penalty of sin again. He already paid it. He paid it all, once and for all. And we have been deemed redeemed and are now free from Satan's dominion and the guilt and power of sin. He paid the price. He paid it all. And aren't you glad that we have freedom from sin today? Freedom from sin. We'd be miserable if we were still under sin. We don't understand how miserable we would be. I think as a church, the church world, takes what Christ did for granted. We take it for granted. It's no big deal. We've been around this all of our lives. It ain't no big deal. It is a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a real big deal. Without shedding of His blood, there's no remission for our sins. We'd be lost and undone today. Still under the guilt, the power, and punishment of sin. But we've been redeemed. He paid the price. He paid the price. He willingly paid it. He had the price to pay, and He was willing to pay it. He shed His blood. Can you imagine? And you've seen the gruesome pictures of the crucifixion. And we all went to see the last whatever the name of that show was, The Passion of Christ, the Mel Gibson movie. I remember the whole church, we all went over there to watch that together, and it was gruesome as most realistic, gruesome depiction of the crucifixion I'd ever seen. And how they beat Him, and how, you know, just near death with the stripes on His back and the crown of thorns on His head and all the things they did to Him in punishment for our sin. The guiltless for the guilty. The Lamb of God for old sinful mankind. And it's such a terrible depiction, and it was so realistic. And all these things that happened to Christ for us, when they laid Him after beating Him to near death and doing all the stuff and all the blood loss, and then lay Him upon that cross and drive those stakes through His hands and His feet. Can you imagine the pain that He endured for us? He endured that for us. He didn't do that for Himself. He didn't need saved. He was the Savior, the Son of God. He didn't need saved. Yet He willingly gave His life to redeem us. He had a price to pay. He was willing to pay it. He gave up His life. They didn't take His life. He gave His life. He gave his life. Willingly gave his life. I am not worth it. And I know some of you have pretty high opinions of yourself, but you're not worth it either. Think about it. Think about it. If you really get a picture of your sin and how gross you are and how ugly you've been, you don't deserve what Christ did for you. We just don't deserve it. None of us deserved it. But he did it willingly. He did it willingly. He said, I'm willing. He said, I scarcely for a righteous man would somebody die. You know? But Christ died while we were yet sinners. We didn't have to be, we weren't right when he died. He made us right when he died, when we accepted him. We couldn't get right enough. We couldn't get perfect enough. We couldn't get clean enough. Still can't. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses you from all unrighteousness. It's not your works. It's not your good deeds. It's not the life you live now. It's the blood of Jesus that has cleansed you from unrighteousness. It's the blood of Jesus that God recognizes when he sees you. It's not your works. It's not your goodness. It's the blood of Jesus that was shed for your redemption. But he paid it. And we're now free. Now, this freedom from sin doesn't leave us free to do whatever we wish. For we're the property of God now. The Bible says you've been bought with a price. So therefore, glorify God with your body. Bought with a price. He shed it willingly. But when you accepted the shed blood of Jesus, you said, I sell myself to you, Lord. I give myself to you. I was bought with a price, and I accept it. I accept it. I am now a bondservant. I said one time I preached about this and talked about us being slaves, and I was confronted just real quick after church by an older gentleman. Said, I'm not a slave to nobody. That's not what the Bible. The Bible says we're bondservants, and a bondservant is not just a slave to be bought and sold. He is a slave that says, I want to be a slave. I want to be your possession. I want to be owned by you. That's what it means. In the Old Testament, if a slave was being freed and he just didn't want to leave his master, they would drive a deal through their ear to depict and tell everybody that guy's a slave because he wants to be. He could have been free, but he wants to be a slave. He wants to be my slave. He loved his master that much. And that's how much we ought to love Jesus. Enough to say, Lord, whatever it takes, if you need to mark my ears, whatever, I want to be your servant. We got saved, we become the servants of God. We've been bought with a price, and so we've been redeemed. So now we are willing slaves to God. Look at Romans 6:18. Maybe I can prove it to you right there. Romans chapter 6, verse 18. I may have already. Says this, being then made free from sin, you become servants of righteousness. Verse 22, now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and life and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what we are, when we were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness, but now you have been made free from sin, you become servants of righteousness. You did it willingly. I want to be a servant of God. I want to be a servant of righteousness. I want to live for God. Lord, whatever. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. We used to sing a song. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. Just use me, Lord. We don't like to say that stuff much anymore, and when we do, we don't mean it. Well, I've been bought with a price. I've given my life to him. He's my Lord. I want to do what he wants me to do, when he wants me to do it, how he wants me to do it, and I'll say and do what he says but tells me to do. I'm going to do my best to obey the Word of God. Why? Because he bought me with a price. And therefore, I'm going to glorify him in my body the best I can. I'm going to serve him. I'm not going to yield my instruments to unrighteousness, but I'm going to yield them to righteousness. I'm going to serve God. Why? as I've been bought with a price. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Sweet is the song I'm singing today. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Happy and glory someday I shall be, for I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. Amen. You guys cut it out. I'm watching. I'm glad for the redemption of Christ. Amen. I tell you what, you kids behave better than your parents do sometimes. It's your aunt mostly. Aren't you glad you're saved today? Redeemed by the blood of Jesus, not with the blood of bulls and goats or sheep, but of the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen.